Winchester Town Board is now in session, June 25th, 2019. I would like to request that we all silence our cell phones. If you have any conversations that you need to take or calls you need to make or whatever, please step out into the hall and do so so that we don't disturb all the other people that are here, including us. To my right is
Robert Mikes.
To my left is
Judy Siegel.
And I'm John Delabos. We would like to have the Pledge of Allegiance. How about you, Judy?
Sure.
Great. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will now move to the public comment section. This period is really devoted to public comment by the general public about any items on the agenda. It's not for discussion, not taking any action. It's just already votes. It's just if anybody has a general comment about the agenda or an item on it that they'd like to share with us before we actually start going through the items one by one on the agenda and taking them each in turn. Yes, Stuart.
Hello, everyone.
And please.
My name is Stuart LaPoff. I live at Turnberry Place.
Thanks.
And I'm here regarding the, I don't know what to call it, the Fontendru.
it sounds like a French dish, but I don't think you bet that.
But the issue that I'd like, I hope the board will consider and will address, and maybe others will have comments on, are the issues associated with traffic, with the general development of the area, including the Flambeau crew and the convention center and a variety of other things, resorts are happening there. It's impossible now during heavy periods of traffic to make a right turn out of Turnberry Place on Paradise Road because the traffic backs up there. And there is a desperate need for a traffic lane in the direction heading southbound on Paradise before Turnberry Road. I've told the in our HOA meetings that that's been considered before, but the county has rejected it because the traffic light there would be too close to the intersection at Elvis Presley and Paradise. And yet, as part of the Fontainebleau project, they are planning on adding a traffic light even closer to Las Vegas Boulevard from the exit of the Fontainebleau. I see no reason why we shouldn't be able to get a traffic light there to be able to move traffic along smoothly.
Okay. That's a good point. Anyone else care to make a general comment about anything this evening you got a notice on? Or okay. I would like to then move to the approval of the minutes for June 11th from our last meeting. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Take care of that. Now I would like to approval for the agenda of June 25th. That's this evening's agenda. We do have an item that we have a request for a hold on. I'm not aware of any combine or deletes, so we will go ahead and approve the agenda as printed with the caveat of the hold, if that's still Councillor Kempfer's intention.
Can you say that one?
I'm sorry, now?
Just
the hold item. Well, the hold item that Attorney Kempfer would like held is number 3. It's AR-19-400081, DR-0564-15. It's the Westgate Las Vegas Resorts Design Review Third Application for Review of an Amended Comprehensive Sign Plan for changes to an existing freestanding sign and changes to animated signage in conjunction with the Westgate Resort Hotel on 59.1 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment zone, generally located on the southeast corner of Paradise Road and Karen Avenue within Winchester. And that's the item that we have a request for hold on. Attorney
yes,
Kempfer?
We are requesting the 30-day hold so we can continue to work with the Turnberry Place residents to make sure that there is a better system, let's say, in place to address concerns over particular advertising. There are over 200 different creatives that take place in any year, and sometimes there's a problem with one that is missed. And when it's brought to our attention by the Turnberry folks, it needs to be appropriately addressed. We had one that was not. We want to make sure that that won't happen again. So we are meeting with the Turnberry Place folks to make sure the system is reinforced so that if there are issues, those issues can be appropriately handled.
Thank you very much, Attorney Kempfer. Do you have any comment on this item at all? Okay, then...
I motion to hold the item.
I second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion to hold. Now we can... any informational items from the county? Or, okay. Upcoming neighborhood events? Or, okay, we're good. So we'll start the meeting with the agenda items now. Number one on the agenda is DR-190429, County of Clark, Las Vegas Convention Authority, a design review for underground stations and an underground people mover system in conjunction with an existing and approved convention facility, Exposition Hall, on a portion of 153.5 acres in a PF public facility zone in the MUD-1, MUD-2, and Midtown Maryland Parkway overlay districts, generally located on the east and west sides of Paradise Road and the north and south sides of Desert Inn Road within Winchester and Paradise. Are those for this item here this evening?
Yes.
Wonderful.
I'm Terry Miller. I'm with Cordell Corporation. I'm the owner representative for the Las Vegas Convention Center and Visitors Authority. So we are here today to ask for the design review for a project that we've actually been working on for many years, but formally started the process in December to consider a method by which we can move our customers across our campus. The campus has been identified in the agenda item. We reviewed several opportunities for methodologies for moving those from overhead to on the grade to below grade. And the authority, through this process of evaluation, selected a company by the name of The Boring Company to consider the design and installation of a below grade campus-wide people mover. So that's what we're here today to talk about. Now I'm going to turn it over to The Boring Company to actually talk about the design issues associated with the project. And I'll let you introduce yourselves.
Thanks, Terry. We actually brought reference materials in case you guys want to pass these down.
Oh, yeah. Great. I love handouts. Oh, hi. Can see you again.
Yeah, we're great. Well, good evening. Thank you for your consideration. For the record, my name is Jane Lobodowski. I'm with The Boring Company, and I'm joined by my colleague, Mike Thompson, as well as by Russell Rowe. Right. And we're here tonight, as Terry mentioned, to discuss agenda item one, a campus-wide people mover system, a transportation system within the Las Vegas Convention Center. There are a couple of benefits that I think are worth touching on even before getting into the physical construction of the project, reasons that the LVCBA board approved the project and that staff has recommended approval of this item as well. First and foremost, the project is designed to be minimally impactful to the convention center during, as it continues to move forward with trade show activities, as well as to the public, to congestion of the surface. When I get into the construction aspect of the system, I'll get more into that, but really the key item of what we're proposing is that the convention center, in developing the criteria and looking for a transportation system, stated that whoever was designing and constructing the transportation system needed to do so in a way that wouldn't affect the calendar, the trade shows that were ongoing there, as well as traffic and congestion in the area, which we know has been very detrimental to the area. Second, we're designing and we're proposing to design and implement an environmentally sustainable transportation system. The vehicles will be all electric. And finally, what we presented was the most cost-effective solution to the convention center and to taxpayers. So when we talk about the transportation system that we're proposing, what you see here is a site plan. We also provided it in printouts, as I know this is a complex drawing. When we talk about the system, we're talking about three stations connected by 2.83 mile long tunnels. The Easternmost station is located right here, really south of DI and to the east of Swenson. That station is then connected to a central station, which is located just in the middle of Silver Drive, south of North Hall and to the west of Central Hall. And finally, a station over here on the north, on the west side, immediately on the west side of the new exhibit hall, just north of the Convention Center Drive. You'll note that there are a couple of places under which the tunnels cross through or within public right-of-way. Those crossings are along Swenson, along Desert Inn, along Paradise, and then beneath Convention Center Drive. Now, in terms of the construction process, really what you're looking at is an almost entirely underground construction process. The station down here, the easternmost station, I'll refer to it as Station 1 for ease, at that location, we'll dig a pit and launch a tunnel boring machine from that location. The tunnel boring machine will excavate dirt all from that location while also building the wall of the tunnel through that process. The construction will be localized at this point at Station 1. Almost all of the construction along the alignment, the size of that location, will be subsurface, underground, at depths of between 25 and 40 feet, most likely. So the beauty, again, of this construction process is you're not ripping up streets. It's almost entirely subsurface, which is great. Now, that's the construction aspect of the system. I'll say that there are a couple of questions that we typically get that I wanted to address right up front about the construction process. First and foremost, we always get questions about noise and vibration. As I mentioned, along the alignment, the noise and vibration is imperceptible to surface. We really design our process, our construction process, to be deep enough, underground, such that actually walking along an alignment next to someone is creating more vibration than our tunnel boring machine underground. So that's one key benefit of the system. I will also say that, of course, noise is always a concern. While you won't be able to hear the tunnel boring machine or anything like that, we certainly intend to comply with local noise ordinances and will be monitoring noise throughout the project, specifically adjacent to this site, to make sure that we're verifying that we're doing the right thing. Then the other two questions that we typically get specific to Las Vegas are in terms of, or to address water. The depth of the water table is fairly high, as well as caliche, so local geology. I'll say that I'm happy to get more into that if you're interested in those details, and Mike is a geologist with the project. But in general, what we've done is pretty significant due diligence of the underground to ensure that we're very familiar with local conditions and that we are designing our construction process and all the equipment associated with the project to address exactly the local conditions that we're going to see here and design it conservatively, even beyond what we would need, to make sure that we're not going to see any issues there. And then finally, earthquakes. Earthquakes are always a question that we get coming from Los Angeles. That's where we're headquartered. I'll say that the tunnels are designed to accommodate for seismic loading. It's a fairly standard design problem or issue that you have to address, particularly being in Los Angeles, and it's something that we worked closely with the permitting authorities there to ensure that we are designing the structure of the tunnel to accommodate for seismic loading. We intend to do the same thing here throughout the building permit process, even though earthquakes aren't, you know, nearly as much of a concern necessarily here as they are in Los Angeles. So I'll just close by saying that again, we really appreciate your consideration of our item. We're really excited to potentially move forward on the project. And we're very excited to receive the LBCBA's board's approval. And moving forward, we'll next go to the Paradise Town Board as well, as it will be agendized for the Board of County Commissioners on July 17th. So we're happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Just to state the obvious, all the stations are on the OBCDA owned property. So everything is within our property. The right-of-way intrusion is actually under the right-of-way. It's not through it, but it's under it. So we'll still have license and maintenance agreements with Public Works as a standard process for our
right. Right, that's a good point. There are no surface disruptions in the public way.
Correct.
all on track.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, totally. So we have, obviously we brought the site plan because we thought that would give the best sense of what we're talking about here. What you're looking at here is an elevations drawing for inside of the station, a cross section, almost as if you were looking at the station, cut it this way from north to south. What you see is the surface here, a mezzanine level, and then stairs, escalators, and elevators to get passengers down into the station.
And you can see the depths of the tunnels being down here, as James mentioned, 25 to 40 feet below ground.
Next, you have a conceptual rendering of what you might see at the surface of one of the stations. This was Station 2, the Central Hall, North Hall station that we referred to.
Attractive. You said attractive.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. You too.
So this is actually... this is actually security covering. That's really what we refer to it as. And the reason for having this is to be able to lock down the system in case it's not in use, and we want to make sure that we're keeping it secure at all times. And this is just conceptual, to be clear. And then finally, this is a photo of taken from the driver's seat inside of the tunnel in Hawthorne. Yeah, so we have a test tunnel, a tunnel that we've built in Hawthorne that's just over a mile long that we run our vehicles through all the time. And so we actually just snapped this photo earlier this week, specifically for the purpose of this meeting. You can see the inside of the tunnel, the interior lighting, and then the drive surface for the vehicle, which is constructed after the tunnel is built. So this is just to give you a sense of what it would look like if you were sitting inside the vehicle.
And the vehicles used inside the system. I think this is a Model X, a Tesla Model X, that LB test the vehicles, so fully battery operated, zero emissions vehicles.
So any questions that you have at this point?
I do.
Okay.
What are the dimensions of the tunnel?
Great question. So the inner diameter of the tunnel is 12 feet. The outer diameter of the tunnel is 13.5 feet. So when I talked about the tunnel boring machine and what that process looks like, the tunnel boring machine, as it advances, excavates dirt, it pulls out the dirt, but it also places 6 concrete segments that form the permanent wall, the structure of the tunnel. So those are 9 inches thick. So what you get is the inner diameter of the tunnel being 12 feet and the outer diameter of the tunnel being 13.5 feet.
Light. And just to be clear, it's 2 tunnels.
Great point.
So we have 2 tunnels that are going side by side, one going one way and the other one the other way. So it's a loop system. Once you get down to the station, the vehicles are turned back and going the other way.
So then each tunnel is a single lane.
Correct.
Thank you.
Exactly. And when I talked about the tunnels being constructed on the site plan, what's difficult to see here are these 2 sets of dotted lines. Those are 2 twin tunnels running parallel, as Terry mentioned.
The vehicles themselves will actually be multi-passenger vehicles. It won't be a singular vehicle like this. It'll be a different automated electric vehicle, autonomous electric vehicle, that can seat up to 16 people on a frame of a Tesla. So they are changing what is the body of the Tesla model to accommodate multi-passenger vehicles going through.
Will there be a driver in each vehicle, or is it fully automated?
There will be drivers. While the vehicles are autonomous, there will be drivers in place as an additional layer of safety. Yeah, just redundant, right? That's what we're all about.
I think it's a very exciting project, and of course, LVCVA just brings great things to the table, so excited about it. I have a couple questions. How many people will it hold? At one time?
Sure, good question. So the capacity of the system will be 4,400 people per hour. So that's what you're looking at. At any given time, it could really range. It'll depend on whether or not you're seeing sort of peak transportation versus a slower time at the convention center, potentially a smaller convention that's only carrying even a couple of people at a time.
one of the significant things about this is the variable of our population within the convention center at any given time. So this is operating more like an elevator, horizontal elevator, where it serves who needs to go at whatever time they need to go, as opposed to a subway where you have to wait for it to come to a station. And so that's how we get to the 4,400 people per hour, or it could be 1,500, depending on how many people need access to the system.
And Terry, will it be like a ticketing system? If I'm not part of that convention, am I still able to ride it, or how will that work?
You can ride it between our Platinum lot and our West lot as much as you want. It's not going to be ticketed for the convention authorities, so that will be free use for primarily our convention delegates.
Okay.
We will monitor how it's open to the public based upon our commitment to our trade show customer on any given day. CES will be a little more difficult to have the public coming in and out than it will be for a lesser populated convention, our convention trade show.
Great job.
So, well, Greg Russ, Sky Condominium. On whose dime is this being
we
built?
Wait, hold on.
And it's already been covered. It's going to be a free ride.
Are we done with the presentation? Let me establish that first.
That concludes our presentation.
Okay, now we will take questions from the floor. Oh, you have a question? Okay, go right ahead.
My question is basically security. What are your security measures? What if something happens, an emergency exit? What kind of plans do you guys have for that, having 4,400 people?
Absolutely, no, that's critical. And safety is the number one priority as we develop the system. So we're still working on what exactly those measures will look like in conjunction with Metro, as well as fire department and building. All of that will continue to be developed as part of the permitting process. Yeah. So at this time, we showed you the security covering. That's kind of the beginnings of the concept, but we're working on full documentation that we're in the process of being able to provide to all of the authorities that I just mentioned. And we've already obviously begun that engagement, right. So we've had introductory meetings.
And also, one of the benefits that she did point out is these are electric vehicles, so we don't have combustion engines going through this tunnel. So the life safety threat or risk is lower just because we have electric vehicles through this facility.
Okay. Perfect. Really excited. Thank you. And that's it. I don't have any more questions.
More questions? From yes, Chris.
I'd like to start.
Yes, sir.
I had the floor until I was cut off.
Would you like to stand?
Greg Grunt, Sky Condominium.
Thank you.
I don't need a microphone.
I can tell.
Used to be lawful authority to go along with the loud voice, but I'm retired. Evidently, this is going to be on your budget. Conventions, and how does that budget, how do you get your funds? From taxpayer money, or is it going to be a ticketing, like one of the board members mentioned? If it's a free ride, there's no chance of that making funds. It's just the cost of doing business for transportation.
So the LBCBA board of directors approved funds from our operations to fund this project. So that's why it'll be free to the public, because we are a public agency and we are funding it through our revenue stream within our convention authority.
I'll shut up. Thank you.
Yes, Attorney Kempfer.
Yes, if I could. Chris Kempfer here on behalf of the Las Vegas Monorail. I need to read you, if I might, a letter, just a portion of a letter that was written today to the Boring Company by Las Vegas Monorail, and the most important aspects of what I'm reading. As you know, the Las Vegas Monorail Company holds a franchise with Clark County to operate the Las Vegas Monorail system and has easement rights for the monorail improvements located on the LBCBA property. While we only have the available material submitted as part of the agenda item, the proposed underground people mover system intersects our existing system, and it appears the presented tunnel alignment interferes with our existing columns for the loads. We respectfully interferes with our existing columns for Las Vegas Monorail system and creates significant concern regarding both vertical and lateral loads. We respectfully request time to discuss the details of your project to understand exactly how it could impact us. That's the letter that was sent today from the monorail people to the boring company. Let me just state in a nutshell what the concern is. Well, and first of all, I want to say personally, and on behalf of the monorail, this is very exciting. This is wonderful. And anybody who doesn't think it's exciting and wonderful doesn't want to see Las Vegas grow and become first in every, we're already first in most everything, and this is just another way we can keep that up. Here's the concern we have. And this concern has been shared with Public Works, and Public Works, candidly, has told us that we can say they need to have this concern addressed as well. And in a previous conversation I had with Mr. Miller, he indicated that this would be something that they would have to address and clearly would address as part of their engineering. When you have columns that will be this close to the boring, you're not just concerned about contact with the columns, you're also concerned about the vibration, because even though you may not be able to feel it up here, there is vibrations that occur. And we were told by Public Works that where you have a high water table, and this is a high water table, you have expansive soil. And where there's expansive soil and drilling, you have to make sure that the soil around any existing columns is reinforced. Now, Mr. Miller's probably saying, I know all this, we're going to do all this. But the record has to be absolutely clear. Because if there's any damage at all to a column, you shut the monorail down. And so we are respectfully asking that you make a condition of your approval, and I would hope it would be okay with the LDCBA, that they continue to work with the monorail folks and with Public Works to ensure that during all of this drilling, every possible remedy, every possible contingency is planned for so as to prevent any damage to the existing columns that are already in place where they are. That's extremely important to the monorail that everyone acknowledge that that potential exists and it needs to be appropriately addressed and make sure that the kind of thing we're worried about doesn't occur. Thank you.
Okay, that's very, very opportune, Chris. Thank you. I personally now have a question. When you're tracing this route that you are proposing, have, and this might be a stupid question, but it wouldn't be my first time, have you taken into consideration where the monorail supports are so that your tunnels go maybe as much in between, as far from each of them centered or wherever, however you want to put it, as possible to minimize that type of disruption that Mr. Kempfer's speaking of?
So the answer is yes. Further to that, they have done so much due diligence because it's not only the monorail, it's also our convention center going up. So the footings, the foundations of that facility is also very much a part of their engineering process. So I would submit that I don't necessarily believe that a condition would need to be put on this approval because we're going to have to meet that as a part of the process of, as Mr. Kempfer has already indicated, the Public Works process, as well as the Building Department's process. But to this board, I can assure you that not only has the investigation gone through every utility, every infrastructure that is in place, whether it's at grade or whether it's one of our 80-foot shafts that support our new facility, those are all taken into consideration as they're performing their engineering services.
Okay. Yes, Stuart.
Yeah. So my name is Stuart LaPuff, just representing myself. Two questions, one regarding security and the other one regarding underground public works infrastructure. First, the security thing, I regularly attend CES, and that's one of the events, along with others, NAB, where there's extreme concerns regarding terrorism and security. They basically lock down the entire campus. You can't get in any of the facilities without going through a number of different checkpoints. So question one is, to what extent is this facility going to be made secure and during either full-time or during those periods where there's high risk, like CES? A second question is, what's been done to take into account of the existing public infrastructure for gas, water, utility, telephone, and everything else in terms of the additional construction that may have to happen at the surface and move those things around?
So, through the chair, in answer to the question, we are in lockstep with our trade show customers. CES has already talked about
what this provides them and what they have to be concerned about. So when CES comes in to our convention center, not only is our security in place, they have an overlay of security that also comes into place. And that's why I mentioned that when we talk about public use of the facility during trade shows, they're going to control that security points on the campus, including the facility itself, including the campus-wide facility itself or the transportation facility itself. With respect to other infrastructure that is in place, again, the due diligence that's happening now from actual survey work that has been done and is recorded to ground penetrating radar that they are doing now to locate all utilities to physical potholing where they actually use a high, like a water system that drills a hole so that they can see that there is a utility in that place is being done as we speak. So it's our intention to avoid any disruption of existing facility infrastructure as well as existing neighborhood infrastructure. So we have to stay in operations at the convention center. It's extremely important for us not to lose a beat. We also recognize out in the public right-of-way there are systems that operate for the neighborhood, not just for our facility. So all of those are being done in their due diligence process. And they're connected again back to Public Works with all the major utilities. They have made a very specific effort to go out and talk with all of the utilities face to face and not just simply rely on what they see on paper or the fact that they find in their utility program.
And if I might add, I mean, this is very standard to tunnel in, right? Anywhere that anyone builds a tunnel, this is exactly the process that they follow. And tunnels have been built forever, for a long time. So I will say that while Terry is absolutely right, there's a lot of redundancies built into this process. We did not invent it. It's already been set forth by standards in the industry.
Can I just follow up quickly?
Of course.
So you've made the representation that there'll be no disruption to the surface because all the activity will be done at that eastern point, the construction and excavation. The reason I asked the question about the infrastructure was if there's a need to move infrastructure or regional pipes, that sort of thing, that could involve a significant amount of service disruption and traffic disruption, which there's already a lot of construction happening on Meredith and happening on Dublin's presently, which is incredibly disruptive to those of us who are living there. So I guess, based on your answer, a few diligence is yet to be done. So it seems to me there still is a risk of significant surface obstruction associated with relocating underground infrastructure. And I would want to be concerned about that moving forward.
So again, through the chair, one of the things that we have done in this design and what Jane was alluding to is that the most disruptive construction is on our property. And so any relocation of utilities is really associated with our utilities on our property. Recognize exactly what you're saying, and we're going to do our best to make sure that it's minimal in terms of any disruption at the street level, whether it's the movement of vehicles or whether it's actual utilities and infrastructure.
Okay. Do we have any more? Yes, sir.
Maurice Lewis, Sky Las Vegas.
Yes, sir.
I've always thought there should be people movers in Las Vegas a long time ago. They haven't. They have surface transportation, fine. But it's crowded. It's always crowded, and the roads are very, very crowded. Anyway, why both of you get together as far as the surface, underground is great, and above the monorail is great. But monorail went to no place. It stopped in the middle and went to no place. It's not successful because they didn't extend it. I understand the gentleman from the monorail, but he hasn't said, when are we going to go to the airport? When are we going to go downtown? When are we going to expand it to other parts of the city? Which would be very beneficial. It hasn't been done. For whatever the it's obvious the money is not there. So if you put your heads together here, you might be able to develop something, especially on the north end of the strip, which a lot of construction and a lot of congestion that's going to be in the next few years with the Drew and other things that are being constructed. So I would say you should all get together, and this is the time to put these things together. And your idea of people is great. And I think you could move that over to Maryland Parkway, and continue that all the way to the airport. But of course, the monorail is not going to get the revenue. So their concern is, what are they going to do? So you have to put both things together where everybody's going to be somewhat happy and make some money somehow. And I think we should be doing this. If we were in Disneyland, it wouldn't have been done. In other areas, you know it's been done. I'm very familiar with the convention center because I work with them. So I'm saying the idea is great, and I think you should expand on it and make some studies and start doing something about it.
Okay, do we have any more comments? Yes, Attorney Kemper?
The only thing I would suggest is, and I believe Mr. Miller, when he says that they intend to work with...
Oh, I intend to.
Public Works.
I know where you're going.
You're intending to do that.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. It's fine to have gentleman's understanding, but it's another thing to memorialize it, because that way we all have a point of reference to go back to just in case somebody forgets or doesn't check in with other people, and then it's like all of a sudden somebody gets to be a bad actor and they didn't mean to be. But if there's some groundwork laid for procedurally for undertaking this type of discussion, then it works out better. So as much as I respect your honorability, that ain't going to cut it. So we'll move ahead, and I think what we'd like to do, if I would like to suggest that we do a condition on this item, where we have to have coordination between Public Works and planning and permitting and the convention center and the monorail and the boring company, so that all the participants and all the players can remain on the same page as much as possible, so that nobody gets left behind and all of a sudden they raise their hand with a list of unaddressed concerns that then throw this into a delay, which you can't have, or other problems that we could run into.
So, John, I just would like to make a comment. Convention Center has always been a great partner to Turnberry, mm-hmm. to all the businesses in the area. Mm-hmm. They always say, whatever they stand behind, mm-hmm. they say they're going to do, they do. Mm-hmm. So if you put a condition, then you need to put a condition for Turnberry, for Westgate. Like, you're putting a condition on everything. The county already put their notes, mm-hmm. asked for approval, mm-hmm. and made the conditions. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a little, you're getting a little...
Well, I think we need some, personally, my feeling is we need to make sure that we have agency coordination and that needs to be memorialized.
Well, the whole entire building that they're building now, that would have never happened if there was no coordination. So I think they...
Yeah, but now we've got different stakeholders. We've got the monorail. We're bringing in other people that aren't normally part of the organic growth of the convention center as it has done in the past. We have sort of new players that we're introducing. The boring company is a new player. The monorail hasn't been involved before, really, with this type of thing.
Terry, but the boring company is doing a contract with Convention Center and
correct.
The county, correct?
Yes.
So, okay.
For the LBCBA, the contract is with the LBCBA.
Gotcha.
And we still are held accountable for everything from negotiations with Public Works on our license and maintenance agreement to attending to every structure that is in the ground and around the ground in our alignment. So again, respectfully, we have to attend to those by the requirements of Public Works, of the building department, and of planning and zoning. So a condition of this nature is already in place by definition of those departments.
Okay.
I motion to approve the item with the conditions of staff conditions.
Okay.
I second that.
All right. We'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Good point.
You just give me a simple insight. They'll meet with them. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get.
Okay. Item number 2. UC-19-0419-MITNVLLC is a use permit for a recreational facility and escape room within an existing shopping center, commercial center on a portion 2.7 acres in C1, in C2, general commercial.
You guys,
can you guys kind of like maybe?
Can you take it outside if you need to discuss?
Yeah, if you're going to talk, can you take it outside, please, if you don't mind? So the rest of us are going to continue on. In a C2 general commercial zone in south of Sahara Design in Midtown Maryland Parkway Overlay Districts, generally located on the south side of Sahara Avenue and the east side of State Street within Winchester. Is the applicant here?
Hi there.
Hi.
My name is David Schoen. I am the owner of and managing member of Rush Estate LLC. We are asking for approval, requesting approval for the privilege to open up an escape room business in the area known as South Sahara in the commercial center. Mm-hmm. We are an existing business. We've been open for 3 years here in the valley. We were previously on Windmill and Eastern. We built a very strong reputation in the community, not just from a business standpoint. We are the number two escape room on Yelp and number three escape room on TripAdvisor in all of Las Vegas. But we've also spent a considerable amount of time giving back to the community through hundreds of free games to charities and nonprofits, working with Department of Family Services to make sure that foster kids have an opportunity to do something fun in the community. And we're excited for the opportunity to bring that to this community, to this area, and to help bring some more recreation, some more nightlife to the commercial center.
Okay. Do we have any comments from any of the attendees at the meeting on this item? I would like to know where exactly it's located in Commercial Center.
Sure.
This is my question.
So if you're inside the Commercial Center parking lot, mm-hmm. and you're looking at the Q Club, we are the suite right to the left of the Q Club.
Right. Oh, I know.
Right to the left. Directly to the left of the Q Club.
Okay. Right to the left. Yeah, got it. Clear as mud. To the left of the Q Club.
Yes.
Okay. And the Q Club, is that even in business anymore?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. It's still running. And
okay.
So,
because it seems so deserted there sometimes. I don't know.
The entire building is under new ownership as of last February, and the new owners have made a considerable investment into that development. Just recently, in the last few, actually currently, they're replacing the entire roof of that building. 20-year warranty, they're putting new HVAC units, they're redoing paint on the building. They're really putting a substantial effort into bringing it to more of like an arts-centered mm-hmm. area, and we're excited for the opportunity to contribute to that and to be a business where not only is it kind of that new modern structure, but at the same time family-friendly and being able to bring some more traffic into that area.
Well, I have a comment. Over the last two or three years, I would venture to say we have approved 8 churches in the commercial center.
I was thinking the same thing when I read this.
I'm sorry, is that one time?
Do you think your operation will be compatible with 8 churches surrounding you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, no, I personally think that bringing the commercial center back to life is wonderful. It's a great idea to do the escape room.
And that's one of the reasons why when we were finding this location, we were happy where we were before, but obviously Windmill and Eastern is kind of far from that central area of the resort area of town. And when we were looking for a place to go to, we really wanted an area that I was born and raised here in Vegas, so you know, that has that those historical roots into it. And my wife, being a small business owner, she spent a considerable amount of time at that skating rink inside of that area. So it was kind of like him back home to us to bring him back to that area. And like I said, we're excited for the opportunity to help kind of bring it into more of an arts type area.
Yeah. I think you have more opportunities for marketing.
Absolutely.
In that location than you
for sure. From a business standpoint, it's ideal.
Windmill.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have any other comments from the audience?
Have you been over there at night?
Yes, I have. So, and that is one thing that, you know, obviously there's, you know, there's some colorful characters. And our business primarily operates during evening hours and on weekends. So it is something we took into consideration when choosing that location. But we see it as diamond in the rough and something that we can try to bring a more wholesome activity there rather than allowing those suites to be taken up by.
Can you please state your name and your address?
Yeah, addresses, please, when you're going to comment. Yeah.
Sorry, Paul Buller, 2857 Paradise. Are you going to provide security?
So we're not going to provide private security, but being the type of business that it is, we are very heavy on surveillance. Obviously, when you're in an escape room, you have CCTVs. We're going to have, inside the building, a total of, I want to say, about 30 to 40 CCTV cameras. Everywhere from the lobby to outside the front of our building, and not only just for the games for safety, but you know, for liability inside as well.
You should also have a smash room, you know, like where you just put stuff in and you just smash it. They have a place like that.
They do, right? And those are wonderful. We actually have a rental proposal with our landlord for the building for the spaces next door. So if we are able to ever expand in the future, and we have an opportunity, we've looked into similar activities to try to help bring something into
the area. Sounds like therapy.
It is. Like, you'll have glass.
They are so fun.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Going back to his question about security, maybe working with Metro.
Absolutely.
You know, they've been working really hard in that area, so just talking and meeting with them, they would be excited that you're bringing this.
And I will tell you that we also, at our current location and here, we were involved in that partnership with Metro where they have their surveillance, they have our information down in surveillance, just a company that does surveillance. So if there's anything that happens in the area, they reach out to us. And we provide our footage to them for the outside.
Oh, nice.
And so that's a partnership that a lot of small businesses in the area have with Metro. And we plan to continue that here. So if there is crime in the area, that we can help contribute to alleviating that.
Got it.
Okay, do we have any more comments from our audience? Okay, I think we...
I want to make a motion. I motion to approve with staff conditions.
I second that.
I'll move to approve. Move to approve with staff conditions.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Look, welcome to the neighborhood.
Yes.
Number three we've held, so we'll move to number four. DR 190428-2755 Las Vegas LLC. Design review for changes and modifications to an approved resort hotel, Drew, formerly Fontainebleau, on 22.7 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment zone generally located on the north side of Elvis Presley Boulevard and the east side of Las Vegas Boulevard, south within Winchester, is the applicant here.
Chris, I can start with them.
Yes.
Good evening. I'm Chris Kemper. This is Jeff Williams and James Horvath. James is the architect. Jeff and I represent the project. This is the Drew, the new Drew. And this is a relatively, I'm going to say simple, it's straightforward, is actually a better approach to take on it. As you know, there are all kinds of previous approvals that are in place. Those remain in place. The only thing we're really affecting is a change here in the facade at the front. And as you can see with the openings here reflect even more a non-typical kind of Las Vegas view where you actually bring the outside in and let the inside out. And we are changing the pool area. And we've got a plan here. This is the pool area that's really the basis of the design review. We're actually using the same amount of water in the area here. We have added this feature on the top. What we're trying to do is incorporate all kinds of activities that you can do in this pool area, be it just sunning, swimming, sitting in the shade, food and beverage. So it's going to be quite, we believe, an attractive entertainment element for our guests and residents alike. What is especially exciting, I think, about what we're doing is changing the landscape along Las Vegas Boulevard. We are working with Metro to make sure that the vegetation that we provide does not create areas where safety might be a concern. We've worked with Public Works so that the bollards that you have can be natural stone sunk deep into the earth, so you don't have to have those ugly bollards placed along the sidewalk. So we're doing contingency as a rendering thereof. So what we're doing is not just taking the face of it and uplifting it and making it more beautiful, but also designing the element of the pool area in a manner that we don't think has been done anywhere else. Here, all of the materials we're using are natural desert materials. We're not putting materials here, trees, plants, whatever, that are not indigenous either to a desert climate. You see, a lot of times people try to create a different atmosphere, a different building, a different city, if you would, and incorporate it here. These are all plants that thrive in our environment. So that is basically what we're doing, and we intend to commence construction the first quarter of 2020. If there are any questions, we're ready to answer.
Just a question, Chris. When do you plan on opening it up?
The intent, again, the plan is to have it open in the second quarter of 2022.
It's great. It's great. Exciting. Thank you. Okay, wait. State your name and your address.
But you can't just speak out. It's lovely, but you have to state your name and.
Maurice Lewis?
Yes, sir.
Down in Las Vegas. Common lanes of traffic. Right now, we have three lanes going north and south. Are you going to expand an additional lane on one side, or is it going to stay the same?
In Las Vegas Boulevard?
Yeah.
No, it would stay the same.
It's important to note, I'm sorry to interrupt, it's important to note for this project, we're not increasing the density at all from what's been approved. In fact, it's gone down a little bit. We fit within all the existing approvals. We don't need additional parking. The traffic light that was mentioned earlier is the same place that it has been approved for 12 years. So we haven't really asked for anything more to put onto the street or vertical. Sorry to interrupt you, sir.
Originally, the funding moved on the entrance and the exit was perpendicular to Sky Las Vegas. And I think, and the Hilton right next door. And they were gonna probably have a three lights so that the traffic could move in and out. Are you gonna do the same, or are you gonna make some changes about your entrance?
There is no change to the original approval, so there will be a traffic signal on Las Vegas Boulevard at the intersection that you just mentioned.
Yeah, well, it's going to be more than one traffic signal.
It's one signal that is intended at that location.
Well, how is it that we will be able to interfere with you and you're going to interfere with us?
The way it comes to the street, it actually jogs back to the south, so it makes up that alignment with Sky.
I see. And Hilton also?
Hilton, I believe, is to the north, and it is
they have something right next to us also.
Yeah, I believe it's further to the north, and I believe that is more in alignment with the property, the vacant lot to our north. So there's not close to our property line.
So there would be no changes. Now, there was, the Fontainebleau had some changes with Sky, and they were going to do over our entrance. Of course, that never happened because on the end went out of business. I don't know if there was any thought on your end that for some reason that you want to make some changes to our entrance as to your entrance and to make it more desirable, let's put it that way.
I think at this point in time, what we are kind of bound by is what was previously approved, and that's what we intend to go.
I see.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Judge Morton, Skylar's letter.
A name and...
Judge Morton,
okay.
Skylar's letter.
Thank you, sir.
So your traffic light will be lighted up in the sky, and we'll be able to use that light too. What was approved?
From my recollection, the traffic signals here at our northern entrance to the Drew, it will have a southbound left turn lane into the Drew. That is what creates that intersection with your runway from the sky. It is offset, and the reason our driveway kind of curves south is to make that alignment work out so that the...
So the approved plan calls for alignment,
right? Yeah, the approval calls for our entrance to work with the sky entrance and to work with the one traffic signal.
Is it a condition of the approval?
It is
very, very concerned.
Yeah, it's part of the original approval. It's part of what we still intend to move forward with. We haven't changed any of that language or any of that. All that we've really looked at was changing kind of the facade and the look of the building and introducing a lot more of the desert in Las Vegas and natural environments.
Also, when do you plan to start construction?
First quarter of 2020. First quarter of 2019.
Thank you.
Yes, Stuart.
Yeah. So, Stuart Lipoff at Turnberg Place. I understand that there's plans to put a pedestrian bridge from the Drew to the Convention Center. Where is that going to be, and what effect is that going to have on keeping pedestrian traffic off of the surface level? Is that part of the design review change you're putting in for? Or?
That is something we are looking at this time, is the pedestrian bridge. The concern is obviously the pedestrian traffic that would be walking from both the Drew south to the Convention Center, as well as anything that's going east to west that would want to cross the street. At this current time, it would have to cross at the traffic signal, which would be at the entrance to the Drew on the south side, southeast, closest to the Turnberry. So the intent and the way the property and the ownership has looked at, they wanted to provide a bridge for pedestrians to help alleviate the congestion on the street.
And we've been willing to pay for it, and we're working with the Convention Authority to see if that can happen, and it's, that conversation is moving forward. I would think it would be very important to those of us who live in and around the area to keep that pedestrian traffic off of the street in order
yes,
to
keep we agree.
Is it your intention then, to that very point, to have the type of barricades that they have down at the Wynn and at Venetian and at the Fashion Show Mall, where the pedestrian traffic is kept in a separate realm from the vehicular traffic?
Correct. The along with the bridge comes pedestrian containment, which then deter people from trying to cross the street anywhere or at the signal. Encourage them as much as physically possible to utilize the pedestrian bridge.
Okay, thank you.
Maurice Wilson, Scott. Originally, Fontainebleau had a shopping mall on the side of Las Vegas Boulevard, Elvis Presley, Circus, the corner there. Is that going to continue to be a shopping mall or something else in the hotel?
We have actually looked at changing programming. A little more enhancement. Shopping is not as large, but really we're looking at restaurants. Engaging the street, as you presented more with the streetscape, we're looking to have more restaurant presence along Las Vegas Boulevard. We believe people love to be outdoors here, especially in the evenings, it actually gets nice.
So Mon Ami Gabi, like?
So
like Mon Ami Gabi?
Yes. So it will have indoor outdoor patios, places where people can go down a lot.
Any more retailer markets, like Trader Joe's?
Supermarkets. Can you, folks? Yeah.
Any supermarkets or markets?
No supermarkets.
One other thing. The property next to you, which they claim that they would build a marina which I don't believe is going to happen as such. Is there any thought of expanding your property?
Sure. Okay. I am.
Not at the moment. I'm 9 million square feet is plenty to work with for now. So we're better explore.
I can get it at my price.
Okay, do we have any more discussion from the audience, or can we take a vote, move to take a vote on this item? Okay. I move that we approve this item with staff conditions. Design review on the roof fountain blood.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, good. Moving right along.
Thank you all very much.
Well, thank you very much. Very nice presentation.
Thank you.
Really great project.
Yeah, really good project.
It's a conversation project. Let me try to talk out of turn.
The board asks questions first. Okay, we need to go. We need to go.
Okay, number five, UC dash. You're welcome. You're welcome, sir. UC-19-0380, SAIA Gabriel Gomes Jr., JRREVLIV Trust, and Sia Gomes Gabriel Gomes Jr. Trust. Use permit for a proposed marijuana establishment production in conjunction with an existing office warehouse complex consisting of two buildings on 9.2 acres in an M1 light manufacturing zone, generally located on the north side of Desert Inn Road and the east side of Highland Drive within Winchester. Is the applicant here? Yes, they are. Thank you.
Should you do 5 and 6 together? It's the same.
No, because they're way different.
I know, but you can just say both, and then they'll talk about both at the same time.
It's the same building.
Yeah, it's the same building.
Okay, if you want to, that's fine. We can do that. Let's do that.
So you just need to say the...
Okay, UC-19-0381, SAIA, Gabriel Gomes Jr. RV Living Trust, and Sia Gomes, C. Gabriel Gomes JR Trust for the following: retail sales as a principal use, restaurants, on-premises consumption of alcohol, service bar, and banquet facility. Waivers of development standards for the following: reduced parking, alternative landscaping, and alternative parking design standards. Design review modifications to the parking lot in conjunction with an existing office warehouse complex on 9.2 acres in an M1 light manufacturing zone, generally located on the north side of Desert Inn Road and the east side of Highland Drive within Winchester.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Lucy Stewart, representing Planet 13, 1930
Village
Center Circle.
My name is David Ferris. Representing
my first and foremost, Mr. Grossbeck, who comes to every single one of these meetings, wanted us to apologize for him because he's stuck in an investor meeting in Canada. So he has never missed one yet. We were actually supposed to be on the agenda 2 weeks ago, but there was an issue with that corrections weren't turned in time, and we got him onto this one. So he couldn't change his travel schedule. And as you know, there's two requests here. First is to relocate the production, which right now they have their production and cultivation together. They're relocating it to that here. So you have it, so really we're taking care, like in the past you've seen this side, which is where the dispensary is, mm-hmm. and we're doing this part over here. And so this-
Is that behind it? Pretty
much. When you're walking into the right, it's the dispensary, to the left is-
So that's where the graffiti wall is or was?
That was inside the existing building. As you recall, this used to be the old Coors distributorship that sat vacant and mm-hmm. sort of dilapidated and run down and ugly. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a beautiful showcase right now. So the dispensary's in. It's been, I think we can say, wildly successful. So now, and then they have their offices in the front. So now they're taking care of the front part of the, when you walk into the left.
Okay.
So the first item for you is just moving to production, which is part of their cultivation. It's where they turn, trim or grow into, they make the edibles and they make tinctures, and it's sort of like, well, it's production or manufacturing. Other places call it manufacturing. In Nevada, we call it production. So,
and I just want to interject something. A lot of this intention is also to create education. So it's really informative. You can see some of this behind glass. You can learn about this process. and it also envisions the future. So we do intend to make this world class that we've done with the dispensary and really make this top of the line and be able to make this an attraction as well for people to learn more about our products and how to create products successfully and do it the right way.
The public can't go into it, though. They can just see through the glass, so just so you know that. And again, it's you go in the hallway, you'll be able to look into the windows and see. It's not like you're going to see pot everywhere. It's really, it's equipment, it's machines, and you'll be able to see. So like going to Ethelon.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah.
You get a little
so if you don't get a treat at the end, like you do at Ethelon. The next request, the numbers, item number six, is where we're adding some retail components to it. I don't know if you've ever been in here when there's the marijuana convention in town, and it's actually grown out of the Rio into the convention center because it's just gotten so big and it keeps growing. So if you're ever in that area, everybody walking in there has a patch. So a lot of times those people don't have a place that they can meet or have a meeting or a conference, or they want to have a banquet, or a lot of, you know, conventions want to have like a social gathering. There's actually going to be a banquet facility or a wedding. If you wanted to get married, buy a dispensary. So that's one of the facilities that we're providing here. The other one is a restaurant, because a lot of people, you know, come in and they come, you know, there's the orb show and there's a lot of activities in there. So there's this place, it's kind of a unique place, from Kingman, Arizona. And my understanding that when all the restaurants are dead in Kingman, this one has a line going out. It's called Ricky Crickets, right? And it's a pizza place, but they make their own beer. So they're going to keep making their beer in Kingman and then bring it and serve it here. So it's a pizza place, but apparently it's a fantastic pizza place. And then there's a retail store, which is like you can buy swag. So so really that's sort of the major part. The back part here is still shown as warehouse. One of the things that's kind of unique is that when we came in originally for the dispensary, we had to get a parking waiver, and we reduced it by 55 spaces. By adding in these places, and they come in and reconfigured this area back here, we have to ask for a waiver again because of the new application, but total, we're only reducing it by 8 spaces. And to be honest with you, I think that's a really unique and an amazing thing that they've done is they created a room. So if you're taking rideshare there and you want to go in and shop, instead of your driver sitting outside and just kind of, you say, wait for me, and them sitting out there and running gas, they can go and park in the back and there's a room for cab drivers, rideshare drivers, or limo drivers, that they can go and turn their vehicles off and go in, get out of the heat, check their internet, get some water, get some coffee, do whatever they need to use the facilities, and then the people can just text them and they'll come back around. So there's not motors running the whole time. So that's, I think, that's kind of unique to a dispensary, and this is part of like the whole experience. If you look at the shaded area, this isn't before you today, but they're working with NDOT, and underneath the overpass, they're working on a lease to provide extra parking, and that's going to provide over 400 extra spaces. So there'll be plenty of parking. But not that they need it, because 80% of the people who arrive are visitors. So they either walk from the strip, from like Trump Tower or Fashion Show. They've worked very closely with Public Works and enhanced the crosswalk across from Sammy Davis, and then also across from Reef. So they're trying to protect people. The nice thing about also when they get a driveway out, you're behind them. But that will be before you in the future, but it's in the works, just so you know that it is happening. I understand staff recommending denial of the retail, I guess. Except that I think this isn't really just for us. We would rezone it to C2, and we talked about that, but by having the production component, we have to have industrial. So that's why we have to do it with use permits to allow to add the retail. But if you look all up and down Sammy Davis, that's all zone industrial, and that's all retail. So, I mean, I don't know that this area is so close to the strip, so close to Fashion Show, you know, all the retail up and down Sammy Davis, I don't know that this really would ever develop. Well, clearly it didn't as an industrial building because it's got vacant for years. So.
Do you think, from what I've read here and what I'm observing, and I've been there, and I was at the opening and everything, do you think that the denial is really based on the zoning as much as it is on the fact that you're looking to truncate a lot of the features that go with a pleasant presentation in a parking lot and having landscaped areas and having, I mean, all of those things from this application are waivers for the elimination of.
That's so basically,
what you're asking for is for you to take away all the things that make it less look like a lot of hard surface. And I think that is probably where a lot of this denial issue seems to be stemming from. They state so right here.
Right, but the part that we're asking for that is in the back, which is faces, I don't know what kind of experience is back there, because actually most of our people really do park up here, and the people who are back here are just drivers that are going right in to the lounge, which is back here. So it's, I mean, do we really need landscaping by a door pass that you can't even see when you're driving over, to be honest with you?
Any comments from other members of the board?
No comments.
Shall we take a vote on this item? I move to take a vote. I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. Open it to public comment, Paul. Okay. All right. We've done that. Okay. I'll close public comment. Yeah.
I forgot one thing, and I know Bob wanted us to mention that. You know, remembering that this came from a pretty ugly warehouse, they actually won an award from NAHA. In fact, they brought it so they can see.
So we won a 2019 redevelopment award. So they awarded us for just taking on that project, redeveloping an actual facility to make the award-winning facility it is. So
how is that in local or state or from your own industry?
It's the NAIOP is the National Association of Industrial and Office Parks.
Oh.
That's a local chapter.
Right. You know, I've been to the building. I think you've done a wonderful job with it. You really have, so that's not an issue. My initial feelings on this originally was to approve your first application and go with staff's recommendation of denial on the second one. But in listening to you, I feel a little bit comforted by the fact that you appear to be doing something about the parking issue. What I would like to know is if this parking second phase, and I'm looking at your saying that that's something you're definitely going to be doing.
This year?
Yes.
During discussion, just doesn't move quickly. I mean, because there's certain type of easement, but the engineer's been working with NDOT. They've given us any commitment to it. It's just the paperwork.
Okay.
So, they have to sign the application.
Would that then allow you to return some of that parking area to looking less barren and stark, this indicates you're going to be doing if we pass this? Because I would like to discourage that if I could.
We'll send that information on.
So you have to do each item anyways, the motion? So do you want to make a motion for item number five?
Motion that we do the first one, yeah. That's,
okay.
We're going to take a separate anyway, yeah.
Okay, do you want to make the motion?
Yeah, I would like to move that we approve number five, which is your first application, with staff conditions. All those in favor?
I second
aye.
That.
Seconded?
Aye.
Okay, I'll okay, aye. And then, now number six.
And then that was, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to have this discussion since this is not before you.
Right.
We wanted to come in and have our use permits be for all that, you know, because then that way there'd be no parking reduction, anything, we'd have no issue. But because, again, NDOT doesn't move quickly, and we're hoping within the next month or two we'll have a signature and we'll be within in the fall, by hopefully.
Do you want to go ahead and hold the item then so that you have all that?
No. The only reason is because we don't need it, because we already have a reduction on the site of 55 spaces. Basically, by approving this, we've reduced that down to only 8 spaces. So we've actually increased the amount of parking. Part of it's just because it's back behind the building, that's we're not providing the landscaping, but honestly, we don't think anybody's going to go back there, because 80% of our visitors come by rideshare or cab or they walk. It's probably going to be just employees that will be parking back there.
Just to touch on that 80% tile for visitors, that's why we built the actual driver's lounge, is because we felt like that is the mass of our traffic, is the ride share, is those taxi drivers, so we feel confident that won't be as customer facing in the back side of the building, and we have established parking on the side areas for the ride share and the cab drivers.
We'll meet code. I mean, it gets close to me, closer to being code. So if you want to direct this when we come back, to look at that, we will be sure to tell Mr. Rosenbaum.
Would someone care to make a motion?
Would you like to make a motion, Bob?
No.
Do we have a consensus on the board on how we feel about this? Okay, I'm going to recommend denial on this one. I think that if you have the other item ready and you come back before us in a month, I seriously doubt that a month or two is going to make a big difference as far as that particular portion of the parking lot goes when you've got so much else to concentrate on in front.
And well, the retail's ready. I mean, the restaurant's ready. They're pretty much ready. So they kind of need their use permit. That's kind of the problem with the whole package.
I'm recommending denial on that.
Why don't we call for a vote?
Okay, then let's call for a vote on this item. I recommend we deny the second application.
All in favor?
All in favor of that?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
So you got a split vote.
Yeah, 3-1.
So the motion carries.
3-1?
Yeah, she recommends she voted for denial too as well. Yeah, 3-1.
Got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry. Okay, let's finish the last part here. Clear this mess up. We will now, do we have any general business on this item? Well, thank you. Any general business for the board? Okay, comments by the general public? This is where you can talk about anything that you need to address.
I don't think there's anyone here yet.
No, I think that. Our next meeting is the 9th of July, 2019. This meeting stands adjourned.